you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
Listen, from the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Christ to save your life.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon a throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall sit the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to him on his right, Come ye, blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and shall say, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these, or the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's pretty awesome.
That's it. So, powerful.
Welcome to Hope Radio 98.7. Exciting day today. We start a new topic today, and we have a full array of guests and commentators today. We have, of course, the usual suspects.
Absolutely.
Frankie.
Breathe easy, would you?
Rob, the fabulous honey boy, also known as Billy Sunday.
That's it.
Bobby Sunday. Billy Sunday. We call him Bobby Sunday. Then, of course, we have Rachel, our new permanent commentator.
With pizzazz.
Rachel Pizzazz. And then, of course, we have the legend, the man that makes myths legends. Mm-hmm. Our executive producer,
Macedonia. What's
Macedonia.
Good?
Macedonia. So we're excited because we have a lot of guests. Our subject for this month is the new lepers. And we're going to talk about the returning citizens. Many of us refer to them as ex-cons or ex-offenders. We refer to them in the Catholic Project Ministry as returning citizens because if you truly believe that someone has paid their debt to society, they are returning to be the citizens that
redeemed.
We all pray and hope that they are, that our correctional system has reformed them to be. And that's what we want to talk about. And so a part of our guests today is Pastor Dan Quakelaar, which Dan ain't really a guest, you know, technically. I mean, he's part of the Captive Project. It's just that he waltzed in here a little late after the production meeting. So mm-hmm. we're going to treat him like a guest today.
Yeah, yeah.
Till he's actually on time for one of them.
You know.
I thought this was Starbucks.
And then we have Vente. And many of you know that he was part of our Christmas discussion.
There's Vente.
who has become pretty active in this role and is in informing the public and talking to people about the difficulties of being a returning citizen.
Yeah.
And so we think that his perspective would be very valuable for us to hear. And we have Pastor Cornelius from Hope Street Ministry. You first heard his voice when he read the passage, the orator of orators. So we definitely appreciate that. And then, of course, the guest of guests, the legend of guests, I guess we could call him. Yeah, I should see him. He's Puerto Rican, but he's blushing right now. Jose Hernandez, the assistant superintendent from the House of Corrections, is going to be joining us this month for this topic. And so welcome, Jose, and welcome to everybody. You know, everybody say hi to the crowd. Everybody's sitting and like looking at the mics, like y'all supposed to talk because people can't see our faces.
Doing, right, right, right.
Hello, world.
But so what I want to start off with this first session is obviously the intro. What I found is that in a lot mm-hmm. of people's perception of the House of Corrections and is that people go, they get locked up. You know, then they come out after serving a few years. You know, if I look at television, I mean, they smash rocks or dig ditches. I mean, they wear these coats and they, you know, and all they're on chain gangs. I mean, it's just a huge perception when you look, you know, at the penal system. And then, of course, when you look on television and they're doing some type of expose, it's always the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. You know, they go down and they look at the worst possible scenario, you know, in prison. Was that one prison they always like to do?
Well, you know, they, you know, MSNBC is doing and have been for a couple of years now doing like the
lockup.
Yeah, the lockup series where they focus on like all of the rough jails throughout the nation. But then one particular in particular is the Angola one, where they showing you know, all the rough stuff that goes on there. But then, you know, of course, they have the turn event and the church is there and it's very powerful. So
And see that's the disingenuous part of that whole reporting because they report that all that rust and a lot of that stuff happened literally years ago, you know, that they're reporting and they're finding the worst of the worst. But the majority of what's happening is a couple miles away on the compound where you have reformed guys who in there for life who's all about Christ. You know, I love that term that they have down there, man down, which means to pray. So they'll call man down, and then everybody drops down on the knee and start praying.
Playing off of Lecrae's Man Up. They did once 116 Christian rapper, you know, did the curriculum focused on manning up, you know, to men, to man up and take the rightful positions under Christ. But they was like, but before a man can man up, he has to man down, talking about the humility that comes first before you can man up. So
That's pretty cool. So what I want to talk about, first of all, is have Superintendent Hernandez. We're going to call him Jose. I'll introduce him at the beginning of everything, and y'all know he's superintendent because me and Jose have known each other for a couple years, and at the end of this series, we're excited about announcing a major initiative for the Captive Project in partnership with the House of Corrections and prayerfully to be a template for things that the Captive Project could do in other areas as well. So kind of, Jose, break some of the stereotypes that we've had about the correctional stuff. I mean, I know that you're primary to local, but your knowledge definitely expands to the state level, obviously, the education and so on and so forth. So give us a little bit about yourself and then kind of break down the misnomers that people have had about what the correctional facilities does and can do.
Well, a lot of the correctional facilities have realized that incarceration on its face doesn't work. Mm. And offering inmate programming or opportunities, and like you said, the returning citizen has some tools, some knowledge when they leave, is paramount for their success and not to recidivate.
Amen.
So I can speak for the House of Correction that we've taken a genuine interest in making sure that we offer as many opportunities as we can. But of course, like you said, man up, it's up to the guys to take advantage of these programs and follow through with them. We have our American Jobs Center. We're one in 20 in the nation.
Amen.
Putting people to work.
That's
before
awesome.
They get out.
One in 20 in the nation.
Amen.
Nation. We were grant-funded through the DOL to put American Jobs Center right inside.
That's awesome.
And, the grant funds actually end in June, but we've already got grant funds through almost 19.
Thank you.
Last year, over 700 men were given full-time employment during their incarceration period.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
There's a cool story about a guy that he saved up his money when he was released. He had over $4,000 in his pocket.
Wow. Amen.
So he's off to a good start, you know.
That's what's up. How did you get, you know, involved in all this? I mean, did, you know, you like one day you saw a bar and said, I'm going to be in corrections. I mean, how did you get involved in corrections?
Well, I've been in corrections about 26 years, and I don't know anybody that woke up and said, I want to be in corrections. You just kind of find yourself there. Oftentimes, when people aspire to have a law enforcement career, that's where they start. And some of us, like me, realize, hey, this isn't such a bad job, or it becomes a calling, and then you stick with it and continue. So, it's not something that you sign up for and really go after, at least not to my knowledge.
Now, what are some of the things that you guys are doing? Now, you mentioned, you know, some of the successes, obviously, and we'll talk about some of the challenges later on, but give us an overview of some of this, because some of the stuff that I know that y'all doing, I've never heard of a correctional facility doing some of the stuff that y'all doing, especially when you talk about making money off of dirt.
Well, exactly. And like you mentioned in the beginning, these good stories don't get out. So that's why I'm very grateful to be here and share this information and let people know and get rid of that stigma of prisons and jails being the smashing rocks and officers beating people up and rape and all that. It's just not true. It's not.
Amen.
I actually look at the House of Correction as a short-term, mid-level correctional facility that offers me the opportunity to offer people the opportunity to not go to prison or die. That's a huge responsibility because, we're unique. We're the only House of Correction that I know of. I think there's one down south. And I think God knew that Milwaukee needed an intra-correctional facility to save some of these people that are messing up.
Yeah.
You know, it's a time of restoration. I mean, anybody that gets locked up will tell you they gain clarity. It's an opportunity for God to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for you to get your mind right.
That's it.
Not influenced by the dramas of life.
Right.
You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat for dinner. It's
Amen.
Coming.
Mm.
So it's our responsibility to present all these opportunities, and hopefully people take them. I'm sorry. Did I answer your question?
No, Amen. You didn't. That's what I get for filling a room with a bunch of preachers. But so I'll be more direct. Tell us about the DIRT program.
Yeah, the DIRT.
Okay, the DIRT program.
Well, originally we had a zero landfill initiative. We have a lot of waste and save money on pulling the dumpster off of them. So vermiculture came up as a resource to eat the food waste because we have 80% of our waste is food waste.
Yeah. Mm.
But then we kind of got off track and we found this vermiculture worm casting program where if you're not familiar with worm castings, it's like the best organic fertilizer you could ever have. Gardeners go crazy for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive. It's a couple dollars a pound.
Mm.
And so now we have a large-scale worm farm right in the jail. And what's interesting is anyone can do this as a business in a two-car garage. Hey, so we have guys participating in this program actually learning this. I don't know anybody that has actually started it, but a lot of times the guys will say, hey, I'm going to do this when I get out, you know, because if I can't find a means of making legitimate money, I'll start my own business.
Hey, amen. That's right. Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship.
It's pretty exciting to see guys to get excited about themselves and set some goals once they're released.
Yeah. What I liked about the program is obviously it put that mentality in the heads, and that's what I was driving at when I was talking about the DIRT. It's like it puts a mentality in the guy's head of an entrepreneur, and you said it at the end, if I can't get a job, I can go and fertilize DIRT and sell it, because this DIRT, and he's brought some samples for us, to do this and to make money as far as my family is concerned. Now, I know, Vente, you spent some time there, and I know that you want
there
to
where?
House corrections,
okay.
under Jose, and I know that you want to say, you know, something, and so why don't y'all get the tears, get the tissue for Jose, you know. So Vente, you know, kind of tell us, you know, the experience as far as you had under Superintendent Jose. Go ahead.
You know, I'm gonna make this as honest as possible. You know, and Jose is has been a great inspiration in my life due to the fact that even when I was, you know, a knucklehead and really didn't want to hear nothing that he was saying, you know, the Most High utilized Jose's willingness to, you know, make a difference and not just be a person that's there for collecting the check, you know, at the facility that he worked at, which is the house correction. And I have been coming through the house correction as a 17-year-old being waived into the adult system. So I have been dealing with Jose on and off throughout my life, you know, from 17 years old up, you know, I definitely can say that, you know, everything that he said as a youth, you know, although I didn't heed it at that particular time, you know, as I grew and matured, and, you know, as years went on, I started to I actually became a believer at some point in there. I started to reflect on the things that he was saying to me, far as, you know, you don't have to, you know, make this a part of your life forever. You can, you know, take this opportunity while you're in here, you know, to learn and correct your errors while you're here, and, you know, really get out here and do something in life if you choose to. And, you know, now here it is, having seen them in almost 20 years, and, you know, seeing them again, you know, it brings back memories, you know, of what he said and the way he used to treat me, because he didn't treat me as if I was just a number or if I was just a bad guy, you know what I mean, so to speak. He treated me like a human. And, you know, because of his, you know, interaction with me and treating me like a human, today I can say that I'm on the right track, you know. And I just want to congratulate him and thank him for, you know, being a stand-up guy in my life.
Well, thank you.
Right. And amen. What's awesome about that is that, and this is a major point that I wanted to make in that connection, is that, you know, you weren't a Christian at the time.
At all.
He was. And we're not talking about Christians that are in a correctional facility coming over and beating you across the head with the Bible. This is how you're going. It's the philosophy of
treating someone with dignity and respect, even though they made a mistake. And here's what's unique about it, is that he saw you past yourself. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. He saw you past yourself, even though you were knucklehead and so on and so forth. He saw you past who you were showing yourself, who you thought you were, and you actually weren't. And so I love the fact that when you have Christians that can use God's gift to help transform people, you know, and I don't want to be remiss because our time is running low. I want to, Cornelius, you have a Pastor Cornelius, you definitely have a different perspective. I don't know if you going through the House of Corrections, if I'm right, you're not. Your stint was a while ago. So kind of give us in this intro session, kind of give us an idea of, you know, kind of where you come and kind of the outside perspective, you know, of the transformation that happened with you.
Yeah, I came in the prison system at 25. I considered myself to be not a criminal, but, you know, because I wasn't out robbing and stealing, but I had that gangbanger mentality because of where I grew up at, you know. And when I came to my sister's defense, and I didn't intend to kill the guy, but I intended to stop the attack on my sister. But he died, you know, and I turned myself in. And the fact that they charged me with first-degree murder just infuriated me, you know. And so when they offered me a deal, because they said you have no criminal history or anything, and they pointed out the benefits of this deal, I said, but the charge ain't right, you know. And so I believe that I could win in court. Took a gamble and I lost, you know, and that.
And if I'm right, that was during a time where racial tensions were very high, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so
that was in 1988. But I spent 10 years extremely angry, you know, fighting against the system, studying the law. I'm gonna get his back. That's what I was thinking. I discovered that it's easy to get and hard to give back, you know. That didn't happen. But the system, they got kind of tired of me because I always pop paper, as they call it. You know, you gonna treat me the way the administrative code says you have to treat me. And so when they started sending prisoners out of state to Tennessee, I was one of the first ones that they said, hey,
get rid of him.
Right. And I was angry, and I said, you know I'm going to fight this. And they said, yeah, but you can fight from Tennessee, you know.
Okay.
But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. What was different about Tennessee was, which I didn't know at the time, but they were primarily Christians that ran the prison.
Amen.
It was there that I began to study.
So that's the sovereignty of God. Okay, yeah. Praise God.
But, you know, one day I was asked by one of the guards. She said, are you saved? I said, what, do I look not in me to be saved? She said, don't we all?
You know,
that made me think.
Let the rhythm hit it.
And, and it was from there was the beginning of my transformation.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. And so we're going to go in depth, you know, in that, in our upcoming sessions. Rob, what do you think? What do you think?
I was just thinking about how the introduction to this program ought to cause us as a body of believers to examine ourselves. Because this is not only a thing where we're looking at the correctional facility, where we wonder, you know, who in there is Christian is treating me a certain way, and who is Christian is not, but even ourselves as society, not the Christian body, and we know the world's going to be who they are as a whole, but how are we treating those returning back to society? Who are we to say they are or are not rehabilitated, especially the body of Christ, without examining ourselves to say, what if we were in that position, rehabilitated by Christ, how are we to get a fair shake at life, a second chance as
that's
a returning
powerful.
Citizen?
That's meat.
Right, and that's awesome because that's actually going to be the next subject in our next session is the very first people that should take up the responsibility of these returning citizens should be the church.
That's right, the body.
And so amen, we have to, we're going to talk about that in detail, Pastor Hernandez. Jose will be Jose will be returning. Cornelius, Vente will be returning, and we're going to talk about from the perspective of what the church didn't do.
That's right.
When they came out, and what the church needs to do, and what the correctional facility needs to do, what the church needs to do to help the correctional facility, because the reality of it is that their citizens are going to be returning, and Milwaukee is a major metropolitan city, and a lot of returning citizens come here. And so we have to accept the fact that we have the responsibility as the church.
That's right. That's right.
Come and on, when man. The Tell church the accepts the responsibility and sets the example,
the world will follow.
Then the rest of the city and the world will see, look at how God is using his body to fix this situation.
Amen.
And so we thank you for joining us in this intro, which promises to be a serious conversation.
Amen.
And a necessary one.
Amen.
So Hope Radio 98.7.
Joy and peace.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.